At first, Tommy was relieved that he would be taking a polygraph exam. He would tell the truth, the test would prove it, and the cops would finally stop hassling him. Then he began having nightmares about the murder, the accusations by the police, the comments about his resemblance to the man in the sketch, the pretty face of Denise Haraway and her family's anguish. Why was he being accused? The police believed he was guilty. They wanted him to be guilty. Why should he trust them with a lie detector exam? Should he talk to a lawyer? He called his mother and told her he was scared of the police and the polygraph. "I'm afraid they'll make me say something I'm not supposed to say," he told her. "Tell the truth," she advised him, "and everything will be fine." Thursday morning, October 18th, Mike Roberts drove Tommy to the OSBI offices in Oklahoma City, 20 minutes away. The exam was to take about an hour. Mike would wait in the parking lot, then the two would drive to work. Their boss had given them a couple of hours off. As Mike Roberts watched Tommy enter the building, he could not imagine that the boy was taking his last steps in the free world. The rest of his life would be behind prison walls. Dennis Smith met Tommy with a big smile and a warm handshake, then put him in an office where he waited, alone, for half an hour, a favorite police trick to make the suspect even more nervous. At 10:30, he was led to another room, and waiting there was Agent Rusty Featherstone and his trusty polygraph. Smith disappeared. Featherstone explained how the machine worked, or how it was supposed to work, as he strapped Tommy in and hooked up the electrodes. By the time the questions started, Tommy was already sweating. The first questions were easy: family, education, employment. Everybody knew the truth, and the machine complied. This could be a cakewalk, Tommy started thinking. At 11:05, Featherstone read Tommy his Miranda rights and began probing into the Haraway matter. For 2.5 hours of tortuous questioning, Tommy gamely stuck to the truth. He knew nothing about the Denise Haraway matter. Without a single break, the exam lasted until 1:30, when Featherstone unplugged everything and left the room. Tommy was relieved, even elated, because the ordeal was finally over. He had aced the test. Finally, the cops would leave him alone. Featherstone was back in 5 minutes, poring over the graph paper, studying the results. He asked Tommy what he thought. Tommy said he knew he'd passed the exam, the matter was over, and he really needed to get to work. "Not so fast," Featherstone said. "You flunked it." Tommy was incredulous, but Featherstone said it was obvious he was lying and clear that he was involved in the Haraway kidnapping. "Would he like to talk about it?" "Talk about what?" "The polygraph doesn't lie," Featherstone said, pointing to the results right there on the paper. "You know something about the murder," he said repeatedly. Things would go much smoother for Tommy if he came clean, talked about what happened, told the truth. Featherstone, the nice cop, was anxious to help Tommy, but if Tommy refused his kindness, then he would be forced to hand him over to Smith and Rogers, the nasty cops, who were waiting, ready to pounce. "Let's talk about it," Featherstone urged him. "There's nothing to talk about," Tommy insisted. He said again and again that the polygraph was rigged or something because he was telling the truth, but Featherstone wasn't buying it. Tommy admitted to being nervous before the exam and anxious while it was underway because he was late for work. He also admitted that the interview 6 days earlier with Smith and Rogers had upset him and caused him to have a dream. "What kind of dream?" Featherstone wanted to know. Tommy described his dream. He was at a keg party. Then he was sitting in a pickup truck with two other men and a girl out by the old power plant near Ada where he grew up. One of the men tried to kiss the girl. She refused, and Tommy told the man to leave her alone. Then he said he wanted to go home. "You're already home," one of the men said. Tommy looked through his window, and he was suddenly at home. Just before he woke up, he was standing at a sink, trying in vain to wash a black liquid off his hands. The girl was not identified. Neither were the two men. "That dream doesn't make sense," Featherstone said. "Most dreams don't," Tommy retorted.